Good evening. For WBAI News in New York, I'm Linda Perry. Beginning with international news, a powerful 7.3 magnitude earthquake on the Iran-Iraq border killed at least 400. Over 6,700 were injured in Iraq, more than 500 in Iran. The earthquake was centered around Halabja in eastern Iraq. It struck at 9:48 p.m. Iran time last night. This was just as people began retiring for the evening. A TV commentator, as the earthquake came, fled the broadcast. Residents left their homes into the night, and it was felt as far away as the Mediterranean coast, 660 miles away. Its worst damage appeared to be in the town of Sarpol-e-Zahab in Kermanshah province. It sits in the Zagros Mountains that divide Iran and Iraq. Turning to Yemen, the small country whose inhabitants are suffering from starvation and cholera, the U.S.-led Saudi regime fighting Shia rebels over there says it will begin reopening airports and seaports. This is days after closing them over a ballistic missile attack on the Saudi Arabia capital, Riyadh. Saudi Arabia. Turning to COP23, the UN Conference on Climate Change in Bonn, Germany. It continues through November 17th. It's where, despite Donald Trump's announcement in June that the U.S. is withdrawing from the 2015 Paris Climate Accord, U.S. business members, governors, and mayors issued a pledge. It's called America's Pledge to Continue Support of the Paris Climate Agreement. It assures the international community that Trump and the federal government don't set climate action in the U.S., that states and local governments, along with the business community, does. Trump pulling out of the Paris Accord is promoting U.S. coal and oil instead. America's Pledge, unveiled in Bonn, is co-chaired by former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg.
The Trump administration did send a delegation here to Bonn. And it might be the first climate conference where, this is not a joke, folks, coal is being promoted as an example of sustainability. But it will also likely be the last. The world is moving on, and so is the United States. More than half of all the United States coal plants have closed or are being phased out. And that trend has only accelerated over the past year. Thanks to the falling price of wind and solar, coal no longer makes any economic sense. It also kills people, including 20,000 people each year right here in the EU. Now, a number of countries have made plans to go 100% coal-free, and I'm happy to say Europe is helping to lead the way. Coal's days are numbered. It's not coming back. And even if Washington drags its feet, the American people will keep moving forward. And the false promise of jobs coming back in coal is a sad fraud on miners who need help to transition to a new economy so they and their families can have a future, rather than being a pawn in a political reality show. The fact is, the federal government doesn't determine whether and how the U.S. takes action on climate change. The bulk of the decisions affecting carbon emissions in the U.S. and many other countries are made by cities, states, businesses, and civil society. The role of the federal government is ideally to coordinate and to support those efforts. But if Washington won't lead, mayors, governors, CEOs, and civil society will.
Bloomberg says if non-federal actors in the U.S. in support of climate change were a country, their economy would be the third largest in the world, bigger than all but two signatories to the Paris Agreement. A report was issued by America's Pledge. It finds that emission reduction targets have been adopted by 20 U.S. states, 110 U.S. cities, and over 1,400 businesses.
The Trump administration is not only isolated in the world community on this issue, but also isolated within America on this issue.
Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse is in Bonn at the COP23, the 23rd conference of the parties to the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change.
Congress has many strong voices who oppose the Trump administration. Governors, mayors, American corporations, our NGO community are all continuing ahead. And I would point out that America being a nation of laws, there are still a great number of career officials working in the executive branch under American law, that confers upon them obligations to continue our progress. So even within the Trump-led executive branch are people who are legally bound to continue this progress, and we are going to defend that.
White House says the responsibility for America's predicament stands with the fossil fuel industry and its malevolent influence on American politics, often through front groups, often using dark money.
When you hear big oil company CEOs claim that they take climate change seriously, that they understand their product is causing it, and that they support a price on carbon, I am here to tell you from my position in the United States Senate that that message has not filtered down to their own political and lobbying apparatus operating around Congress. So one of two things is true. Either they have lost control of their political and lobbying actors, and they are off on a free-range, unauthorized mission, in which case one wonders why they're still being paid, or there is lip service being provided to climate change by the fossil fuel industry while its political operation remains relentlessly and secretly opposed to climate action. I suspect the latter.
We are still in.
Ben Cardin from Maryland is ranking Democratic member of the Foreign Relations Committee, member of the Finance and Environmental and Public Works Committees.
America will live up to its commitments that we made in Paris. We are on track to do that. In fact, when you look at the amount of power plants that are coal-based that have been closed or to be closed, you look at the percentage of our electricity generated by renewables, you look at what the states are doing on their on their plans. When you take a look at what we've been able to accomplish, the number of jobs that we now have in renewable areas, all these indicate that America is very much on track to accomplish our goals. And the American pledge, when we had our governors, our mayors, our private sector companies, the NGOs, our universities, all coming together to make it clear that they're going to live up to the commitments, I made the point that one person does not speak for the federal government. And that is, I disagree with President Trump's comments and what he stated, but I can tell you that in Congress, we are taking steps to make sure America is still in, and we'll do everything we can to make sure we live up to our Paris commitments. The reason we do this, quite frankly, as the lead Democrat on Senate Foreign Relations, is America's engagement globally is critically important to our national security. Climate change and dealing with it is critically important to our national security, and we hear from our military about that frequently. We know that we have climate migrants. We know the climate has led to instability in countries. All these reasons, plus our own military installations that are challenged, it's a matter of national security. And as we participated in many forums here on the economics of dealing with climate change through reducing our carbon footprint is pretty clear, the number of jobs, et cetera. I come from the state of Maryland, and the Chesapeake Bay is critical to our way of life and to our economy, $1 trillion in our economy. And climate change not only threatens the blue crab, but it also threatens the people who live on the coast in my state. So we are very much engaged in these issues. We want you all to know that we will live up to our commitments, and America will continue to be a strong voice working with the global community in order to deal with this challenge.
Senator Jeff Merkley, Democrat of Oregon, says Trump has one vision to double down on fossil fuels, but he says grassroots America has a very different vision.
And grassroots America is winning, leaving us on track to meet our 2020 goals as promised in Paris. And what we are seeing is the emergence of a very bold vision of completely ending the era of burning fossil fuels. This is the 100% movement. 100% end to the era of burning fossil fuels, 100% energy economy based on clean and renewable energy. And we've seen in just this last year more than 70 influential companies sign up for this vision. We have seen more than 150 cities sign up for this vision of a 100% clean and renewable vision of energy. And we have seen a very large number of clubs and campuses, college campuses, proceed as well. And this means that each of them is saying, what can we do, not just a vision, but a reality of an action plan? How can we change how we heat? How can we change how we heat water? How can we change how we light our buildings? How can we proceed to change to plug-in vehicles? And that will have a tremendous impact in the years ahead. So, if anything, America is emerging from the Trump year in office with a bolder, more powerful vision with a ton of grassroots support across America. So count us as still in.
Merkley says to defeat the fossil fuel industry and reclaim the country, we have to throw the Koch brothers out of every state. Brian Schatz, Democratic senator from Hawaii, says no one, not even the most powerful person in the U.S., can stop the clean energy revolution.
Clean energy is growing at a record pace, making up nearly two-thirds of all electric facilities built in 2015. And this year, even under this administration, wind had its best quarter since 2009. States, cities, and the private sector are looking to the future, too. Major American companies have set targets to cut their own carbon pollution. More than half of our states have clean energy policies in place, with many putting caps on emissions. My home state of Hawaii committed in law to transition to 100% clean energy by the year 2045, and we may actually reach our goal sooner than that. And that's why we're here today. It's because the President of the United States is a powerful person, but he cannot stop clean energy. With the investment tax credit and the production tax credit in federal law, with the Clean Air Act in federal law, with states, cities, and the private sector moving forward, we are still in is not just a message. It's not just a rhetorical flourish. It is a fact. You cannot stop clean energy just by a declaration. The momentum is already there. We're here to convey that message internationally. Our system of politics is sometimes slow. It's sometimes complicated. But one thing is very clear. Not any one individual person, even the most powerful person in the United States, can stop the clean energy revolution.
And you're listening to the news on listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio. This is WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. At the COP23 UN Climate Conference in Bonn, Germany, Syria announced that it will now join the Paris Climate Agreement, slowing global warming. This isolated the U.S. as the only country opposed to the pact. Syria and Nicaragua were the only two countries outside the 195-nation pact when it was agreed in 2015 under former U.S. President Barack Obama. Nicaragua, which originally denounced the plan as too weak, signed up last month. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, called it embarrassing for the U.S., while Senator Tim Kaine, Democrat of Virginia, said that by America first, they meant America last. Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts.
The planet is running a fever. There are no emergency rooms for planets. And the American people understand that and want us to be the leader. The American people are embarrassed that Syria has now agreed to ratify this agreement and that the United States is now alone in the world. And what we are here to do is to tell the world that we are with them, that the American people are with them, and that Donald Trump is nothing more than a temporary occupant of the White House, and that COP really stands for Climate Outlasts Presidents. And that the American people understand that, and that we're going to continue to move forward because time only moves in one direction.
Markey says we hold the Trump card because of California. There, the state writes its own air pollution rules, which are now being followed by 12 other states. California's Pam Connor is a Santa Monica City Council member.
In California, there's state law that you need to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and said to regions, such as the region of Southern California, that you gave a target of greenhouse gas reductions that you needed to prove when you were doing your regional transportation plan. So in our region of SCAG, Southern California Association of Governments, 191 cities, 18 million people, and we have a board of 84. Of that board of 84, there was a lot of resistance to the state mandate, seen as a mandate about reducing the targets. A lot of discussion about the targets, but eventually had to move on. We had to put together the transportation plan with an accompanying document called the Sustainable Communities Plan. What came in and show that we could achieve reductions? As we implemented that 2012 plan, the co-benefits that came out of it for cities started to roll out. And people who had fought because of the targets found out that all these co-benefits, more active transportation, cleaner air, more funding going to disadvantaged communities, really helped. And it, the argument moved away from greenhouse gas reductions, even though it is a climate bill, to say we were making change, we were affecting it, we were reducing greenhouse gas emissions.
Co-chair of America's Pledge, along with Mike Bloomberg, is California Governor Jerry Brown.
In the world, there are people in the capital cities, and they have lots of power. But in our system, in the United States, we have a federal system, and states have real power, as do cities. And when cities and states combine together and then join with powerful corporations, that's how we get stuff done. Yeah.
Brown was interrupted at COP23 by protesters. The activists want California to do more.
Well, thank you. I wish I could speak in rhythm, but I don't. In politics, we don't have a magic wand. I don't wake up in the morning and say, stop. There's no more oil. There's no more coal. No, it takes a plan. Otherwise, all you get is noise. And that is really good noise. But it doesn't get the job done. So, I'm reframing my speech beyond noise to real climate action. And real climate action is done through a sequence of steps over and over again. And the key word is perseverance, not a one-off, but a daily, yearly commitment, ever greater in its intensity, to move to a decarbonized future. We're not going to get it overnight. We'll be lucky if we get it by 2050. We should get it by 2045. And we can't lose faith because we're not doing everything. The perfect can become the enemy of the good, of the better. So California is the most aggressive, the most far-reaching climate action state in the country, in the Western Hemisphere. By the way, is it enough? No. Do we have a lot of pollutants? Yes. Do we have 32 million cars driving 335 billion miles every year? Yes. Are we going to stop them today? No. Are we going to stop them in time? Yes, if the America's Pledge is picked up by the rest of the country and the rest of the world, which it will. And that's why we're here. And if we can take some of that noise, bottle it into energy and commitment, we'll get the job done. America, we're here, we're in, and we're not going away. Thank you very much.
The Bonn Climate Meeting this week is writing a detailed rulebook for the Paris Agreement. It details how to report and check all nations' greenhouse gas emissions. UN Chief Antonio Guterres says the COP23 climate conference is a pivotal moment when the world needs to come together and accelerate climate change. Matt Wells reports.
The Secretary General said latest data from the World Meteorological Organization showed concentrations of atmospheric carbon dioxide levels, the chief cause of global warming, were at their highest level in 800,000 years. Other data shows that greenhouse gas levels will be so high by 2020 that reaching the reduction targets agreed in the historic Paris Climate Accord will be extremely difficult to meet, said the UN chief. Every country in the world now, except the United States, has agreed to try and limit CO2 emissions to below 2 degrees by 2030.
These reports send two clear messages. We need to accelerate climate action and we need to raise ambition. At the Bonn conference, I will press for progress in five ambition action areas. First, emissions. The window of opportunity to meet the 2-degree target may close in 20 years or less, and we may have only 5 years to bend the emissions curve towards 1.5 degrees. We need at least a further 25% cut in emissions by 2020.
Mr. Guterres said countries most vulnerable to climate shocks needed more help to withstand extreme weather conditions, and the $100 billion annual commitment for developing countries to combat climate change needed to be honoured. The UN chief announced that he would convene a climate summit in September 2019 to mobilise the world's political and economic energy at the highest levels. Matt Wells, United Nations.
And that's the WBAI Evening News for Monday, November 13th, 2017. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.